morning, everybody.
Thank you for your patience. All righty. A very good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I hope the lighting's good for all the camera operators. It's a good cloudy day. Anybody need a white balance? Good? Okay. So this has been a very important week for the Los Angeles Police Department and for our great city. On Monday here at Mission Division, we rolled out the first phase of our body camera program. The cameras are accompanied by the most up-to-date smartphones, making the men and women who wear them here truly the most connected officers in this department. Their work is supported by the full power of mobile devices, the technology that also bridges the human element to make sure that we have accountable policing and strong community relationships. The cameras, which you'll see many of right here, are intuitive, they're easy to use, and they empower our officers to not only engage with communities, but to make sure that on both sides of the thin blue line, everybody is held accountable. This is the initial deployment of what will be the largest body camera program in the United States of America. We're very proud of our leadership, not just here in the city, but nationwide. By the end of 2016, we expect to have 7,000 cameras on police officers patrolling every part of Los Angeles. And the officers' phones will be equipped with apps that build on the LAPD's data and digital capabilities. I think a lot of people don't realize that our officers aren't given phones. Well, that changes with this program. Each one of them will have a phone just like this, and it will not only be able to talk directly to the cameras, we will be able to develop a suite of apps that will help officers do everything from reducing paperwork to have safer interactions by being able to use the technology to see what's coming down the pipeline. The officers' phones will give us all a tool to make sure that Los Angeles has what it deserves, peace of mind, in all neighborhoods, in all streets, in all communities. And these are tremendous steps forward, not just the technology, but in achieving a greater sense of transparency. Good policing is about good transparency. Good policing is about good technology. Good policing is about good training. And they all intersect here today. This will benefit the citizens of LA and the officers alike. It's rare that we get something that serves both sides of that equation, but we're very proud that that's what will happen today. We know that body cameras enhance accountability. We know that body cameras enhance efficiency. And we know that they build greater trust with the community, something this country needs and something that this city has pioneered for so many years. It also gives our officers a cutting-edge tool in their tireless work to keep LA safe. I confirmed this in my conversations with officers. Part of the reason we did a little something on Monday, but we didn't do the big press conference, is we wanted to see how the week was going. So I talked to officers. The captain even volunteered to leave the room while I spoke with them. And I said, really, guys, how has it been? They were very honest. They said we had some trepidation, some fear. One of them was up all night, nervous about it. And they said, once we started using it, it's actually been great. We know that this is something that will require many evolutions. The technology will improve and change. We'll make sure that the community aspects are continued to be listened to. But so far, this is working really, really well. They see the these officers I spoke to saw the transformative potential. We just all came from a graduation of our newest cadet class of police officers now. Sorry, police officers who are now full LAPD officers. And I told them they will be one of the first classes that will be of the body cam generation. Just as officers before said, wait, some of you old timers actually didn't have radios. And a generation before that, some of the officers said, wait, some of you guys didn't even have cars. Each evolution of policing is something that strengthens our ability not only to keep the community safe and to give people the peace of mind they deserve, but also to make sure that our officers are safe and accountable. Constitutional policing and now relationship-based policing are the cornerstone of our agenda for Los Angeles. And this is something that every Angeleno should be proud of and can have confidence in. These advances come at a very important moment in our history, where it's among the best of times. We see crime levels at historic lows, but we also see a very difficult national conversation about maintaining and in some cities, even establishing trust between departments and communities. Here in Los Angeles, we build on something that we went through, which was a lot of pain 2 decades ago. We saw riots, we saw Rampart, we saw things that were about the disconnect. But when you leave Los Angeles, when I go to Washington and talk at the White House and other places, they see LA as the model. Not because we don't make mistakes, all departments will, but how we deal with those mistakes and how we build up greater accountability. The conversation about police and community is happening around America right now. At dinner tables, it's happening on the streets of this great country. And people are going through a lot of pain. Talked to officers, went to a retreat in Palm Springs last weekend with many of our police officers that our police union sponsored. And there's a lot of pain and hurt there. In other communities, especially in communities of color, there's pain and hurt where people feel not only a disconnect between our officers and them, but how we can truly fulfill our potential as Americans. These challenges remind us that there's still much work ahead, but making progress and building trust and doing something. And I want to remind people, we started testing these, started talking about them, as I'm sure Councilmember Englander will say, about 4 years ago, but we started testing them 2 years ago, long before Ferguson, long before Staten Island, long before many of the cases we saw, because we knew this was going to be important to do even before the crises came. And I want to thank so many, the Los Angeles Police Foundation and Commissioner, now President Soboroff, who really, in his first week on the job, came to me and said, I want to raise the money privately so we can start doing the testing. That testing got us to where we are today. Most other cities are just starting their testing and are at least a couple years behind. Upholding the values of police work is essential to everything that we do, because we know that lower levels of trust between the community and police means higher levels of crime. So when we reestablish that trust, we enlist the community to be a part of the trust that is essential to our vigilant campaign right now, to see the recent spike in crime not be a wave of crime, but something that we deal from prevention to intervention to technology to suppression in making sure stops in its tracks. As you've seen in recent days, we've seen a rise in violent crime after more than a decade of significantly lower levels of crime. We're still near historic lows, it's important to remember. But any trend up is always a disturbing one. I know for the chief, for this council, and for me. There are no easy explanations, but any loss of life on our streets, I always take a pause every single day. Whether it's a crime victim who's been shot by somebody in the community, whether it's in an officer-involved shooting, these are painful things, and the loss of life is something that we as human beings must pause and recognize whenever and however they happen. But the LAPD isn't just sitting back on its hands. We're sending additional officers into the communities that need them most. We're sending gang reduction and youth development programs into communities for their first expansion in years to cover more than 70% of the areas where gangs operate in Los Angeles. We're expanding our domestic violence programs. We're looking at our elite officers, another platoon of which will be ready this week to go into the community and communities like our Central Division in South Los Angeles, where we're seeing the highest spikes in crime. But we're also working hard to de-escalate gang violence, to empower our officers. As I told them at graduation today, for every stop that you make on the street, stop into a store and introduce yourself. For every person you put in jail, go to a high school class and teach a new generation about police and get to know them at the same time. And additionally, I want to announce today we're assembling a clergy task force to support our intervention teams and working with faith-based and civic organizations to see what other resources in those communities that are hit by some of the crime spikes we're seeing can be targeted and available for them too. This, for me, is a situation that underscores our need to be ever mindful of the true value of community and relationship-based policing. We owe the people of Los Angeles nothing less. And we owe our officers a huge debt of gratitude. We see that across the country. We've seen an officer targeted, it looks like, just for being an officer who's lost his life, who will be buried in Houston today. We've seen that there is too much profiling in both directions of officers and sometimes by officers throughout this country, and that has to end. And I'm proud that Los Angeles leads in making sure that isn't the way we do business here. But thank you to our officers, to their families, for the way they serve our communities. And thank you to their open-mindedness about these cameras. These cameras will change the way that we police. I was joking, this big one will be kind of like one of those old Motorola brick phones that we sometimes see in museums. It'll be smaller and lighter and more efficient. But talking to the officers and even hearing the anecdotes in this division of how they've been used, and we've collected about 2,000 clips already just in this division this week alone, will ensure that the community can always hold this department accountable and vice versa, that everybody on the street knows too that they must behave too. The push to equip our police stations with better fiber networks and Wi-Fi connectivity to support these cameras, the connected officer initiatives, these have been a huge part of bringing a technology emphasis that I, as mayor, have emphasized across all of our departments. Further, we're working with the Justice Department and others to study the impact, to be the first in the country who look at what we can do better and how we can make this even stronger, and to share LA's leading efforts with the entire nation so we can do our part to connect community and police around the country. As I mentioned, I want to thank Steve Sobroff for his efforts to raise the funds for the initial 860 body-worn cameras. I want to thank Sprint as well for their donation of 860 Samsung smartphones. Very smart choice, because I think the council member and I both use them. And we thank Ruckus Wireless for donating the Wi-Fi access points for police stations. We're proud of what we're accomplishing. We're looking forward to more progress to come. I want to thank my deputy mayor as well, Jeff Gorrell, of Public Safety, for his and his team's effort. And I want to thank Councilmember Englander, who's not just a techie, but also a law enforcement official and somebody who saw this years ahead and has been at the cutting edge, and you'll hear from shortly. Let me say a few words in Spanish, and then I'll toss it over to the good council member to say some words too. El día de hoy marcamos el lanzamiento de lo que será el programa más extenso de cámaras corporales del país. Al final de 2016, esperamos tener 7,000 cámaras en los oficiales de policía que patrullan la ciudad. Los celulares de los oficiales también tendrán aplicaciones que agregarán datos y que proveerán herramientas que los oficiales podrán usar en cualquier momento y lugar. Este es un tremendo paso hacia adelante, no solo en la tecnología, pero también en alcanzar un mejor sentido de claridad. Estos avances llegan en un momento importante en nuestra historia y el momento en esta nación y este país, porque las preguntas alrededor del uso del esfuerzo excesivo se han presentado no solo ante Los Ángeles y ante el país. Pero esta tecnología nos ayudará a tener un Los Ángeles más segura por todas comunidades. Merecemos esto, y felicidades a todos por este paso. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to our great council member.
Like
Bonjour. I think that was for an international audience. I think we're all good, but thank you. With that, I'd like to pass it over to council member Mitch Englander, the chair of our public safety committee in the city council, and a man who has done a great job, not just keeping our community safe as a Los Angeles police officer and reserve component, but also as somebody who has led policy and technology forward. So please welcome Mitch Englander.
This is an international city, I couldn't be more excited about this, and I'm so proud of the ongoing work of the Los Angeles Police Department and the city to be and continue to be the safest big city in America. As chair of the Public Safety Committee, I've been a long proponent of bringing on-body technology to the Los Angeles Police Department. In fact, I first uncovered this technology about 4 years ago before it was ever dispatched or tried out on a single police officer. Started doing the initial research on this 4 years ago, and as kept up with technology, and as it started to roll out and change, I knew we had to have this because we are the best police department in the country. So 2 years ago, when it was near perfection, we just happened to align the stars. And the stars, what we brought in as a new president of the police commission, I'll never forget the moment we sat in my office and Steve Sobroff came in. It was the day before his confirmation in becoming our new president of the police commission. And he asked me, what's your number one priority with the Los Angeles Police Department right now? What's your top three? And I said, on-body cameras, on-body cameras, on-body cameras. And he said, really? What's that? And so we had this great dialogue about it and how it would complement the in-car video system that the chief has brought to this Los Angeles Police Department as well. The next day after he was sworn in, at his speech at the police commission, President Sobroff stood up and said, my number one priority is bringing in on-body cameras, and he's delivered just that. I can't thank you enough. As a steering committee member of the National League of Cities Public Safety and Crime Prevention Committee, I'm working to bring forward a comprehensive national policy on law enforcement, video recording, data retention, privacy policies, retention policies, and everything that has to do with video technology in all the police departments throughout this country. These cameras will revolutionize policing as we know it. not just for Los Angeles, but nationwide. Not only will it help the general public and the police department and our, and probably a lot of lawsuits as well, but will also help officers, as it already has, and we've talked to officers in the field, as a tool, as a de-escalator. When they say, sir, ma'am, do you really want to continue this line of questioning or these complaints or this issue? You're being videotaped. Everything you say is being videotaped, and automatically, right away, it's a de-escalator. The same way the bulletproof vest quickly became the tool of every officer, these cameras and their ever-advancing technology will be an everyday tool to protect the officers. I actually envision these, as you said, Mayor, these are sort of the brick Motorola phones of today. These will probably be a button on the uniform in the very near future. Rather than the he said, she said mentality that we've stuck to for the last 100 years, we can now say, roll the video. That's a game changer. I'm also very thankful for the mayor, and he shared his interest in bringing cutting-edge technologies, not just to the police department, but to every single department within the city of Los Angeles, leveraging them and strengthening our communities and providing better customer service. More importantly, for putting the power of his office behind this technology and these tools. So I want to thank you, Mayor. I want to thank the police chief and the men and women of the department. I also want to thank the commission and the foundation, because the police foundation, the folks behind the badge that are raising money from private donors, from philanthropy, to provide the services, to provide the technology and the equipment that otherwise taxpayers can't fund or aren't funding because we need more boots on the street. They're reaching in their own pockets. They're going to their family members and their boards of directors and raising millions of dollars to provide much needed equipment and technology. So thank you so much for everything that you do. And today's a great day in LA. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mitch Englander. Let me say a few thanks and then introduce the president of our police commission. I want to thank Maggie Goodrich, who's our great CIO, who's done a really extraordinary job. National expert, nationally respected on so many technology projects. Thank you so much, Maggie. Arif Ali Khan, who's the director of constitutional policing and policy, worked through many of the difficult legal issues in developing the policy and listening to all the voices that we can. I'm sure there'll be some questions. Not all voices. You can never have a policy in which everybody says, this is 100% great, but you did a great job in balancing that and making sure that happened. I should have started by thanking Captain Chamberlain for hosting us here today. Todd Chamberlain, who's the commanding officer here in Mission Area. But I also want to thank Captain Jeffrey Burt, our Acting Commanding Officer for Media Relations. Mentioned the Police Foundation, but thank you to Jim Wyatt, who is the Chairman of the Board, for the work that he has done, and our great Executive Director, Cecilia Glassman, for making that all happen. I also want to thank the Police Protective League, who I was just with, and where's Craig? Craig Lally, our great leader, the President of the Police Protective League. Thank you for your great engagement and involvement on that. And absolutely critical. And our Regional Manager from Sprint, David DeBoard, is here. Where's David? Thank you for stepping up, and it was competitive. Sprint gave us the best offer, so thank you, Sprint. Remember that next time you're choosing your phone service. And Brandy Black with your team was great too, so thank you to Brandy. I also want to thank Peter Marks and his team, our great CTO. See Peter over there. Thank you for the great work. Let's turn it over now to a man who had a vision. He, under the rules of our charter, can only be president for 2 years, but it's a nice bookend. This is one of the last things that you're going to be talking about as president, but a great commissioner and somebody who's no stranger to City Hall, a can-do guy. Please welcome our president of the Police Commission, Steve Sobroff.
Everything that needs to be studied has been studied. Everything that needs to be intellectualized has been intellectualized. Everyone's been at the table. And I also want to thank ACLU. I want to thank the members of the community and all the places all over Los Angeles where we went to gather input for the policy. Everything that needs to be tested, Maggie and Dan, you've tested it. So now in Los Angeles language, it's lights, camera, and then instead of the word action, it's de-escalation. So lights, camera, de-escalation. Lights, camera, the truth. Very exciting. I'd like to introduce the chief of police. I think I'm supposed to do that.
Hey, we just did.
His name is Charlie Beck, for the record. That's B-E-C-K.
I got that.
So that beep you just heard means that this is now my news conference, not yours. You know, this is a great day for policing, not only in Los Angeles, but in this country. I cannot thank the Commission President, Steve Sobroff, Councilmember, Head of Public Safety, Mitch Englander, and my mayor. I cannot thank them enough for the initiative and the leadership that they've shown in this. You know, when this was first envisioned, we were in the height of the greatest recession of my lifetime, and I'm the oldest one at the podium. So it was a dream that we didn't think could be fulfilled because of funding. Steve stepped up, the foundation stepped up, this city stepped up and made the difference. And all of these cameras that you see today, all these 200, 250 cameras in Mission Division are funded by the people of this city. That's an amazing statement about how this city feels about its police department. On-body cameras are as important to policing as the two-way radio. I tried to go back in my recollection, my long police experience, to think of what would be more of a game changer in the history of policing than this. And the only thing I could come up with was the radio. This day will go down in history. Second largest city in America, greatest police department in America, the adoption of body-worn cameras, as Steve said, the exhaustive crafting of a policy, the exhaustive development of technology that goes with it, and this is just the beginning. Couldn't be prouder to be the chief of this city's police department. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, and with that, we are happy to answer questions.
Mayor, can you talk about what's happening in South LA?
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, what is the holiday weekend? Are we looking at something bigger happening, and what is the police department prepared to do?
Absolutely. So we've seen in the last 18 months or so an increase in crime. Two important things to remember is we're still the safest big city in America, and these are near historic lows. We haven't seen these crime levels since the 1950s. But as I remind people, if you're in an area where you hear gunshots or where people are being killed on your block, so what? You feel it and you hear it. So we've, for 6 months, been developing plans and implementing plans for a number of things. One, this week you'll see the last platoon of the expansion of the Metropolitan Division roll out throughout the city. Those won't just be in South LA, but they will be disproportionately in South LA where we're seeing those spikes in crime. These are some of the most elite officers, and I want to be clear, because for folks who don't know Metropolitan Division, some think it's like the ones wearing all the equipment and riot cops. It's not. They're actually extremely well-trained officers, often with the least complaints out there. They're good community officers and good tactical officers, and they come from divisions like here. So they will be going throughout the city where they are needed when we see those spikes. About 100 will be in South LA. Second, we're looking at the deployment in general, and where we're seeing that, we're making sure there's additional officers, because nothing calms the street than seeing more patrol officers, some doing foot beats in places like the Crenshaw area, and others getting out of their cars and being there. Next aspect is our crime intervention and prevention programs. Usually at the end of the summer, we see summer nightlights end. We will be debuting a Friday nightlights to keep our parks open late at night. A safe place for kids to be. Every single time we've done that in the summertime, we've seen a 40% drop in crime. They became safe havens, places where people can go. And then our intervention programs, we are expanding, as I mentioned now, to hit about 70% of the areas where gangs operate, which is a significant, almost a 50% increase. Those folks are being hired up right now. So I can't tell you that every certain person is on the street, but in the coming weeks they will be. And those are folks who can actually go to the shot callers and say, hey, can we put gang truces out there? Can we look at what's happening? Can we make sure that whatever retribution is going back and forth, we stop it in its tracks? And we've got great coordination between our police department and my gang reduction youth development team doing just that as well. We also have established an office, a new division that is focused on relationship-based policing. The official name now is...
It is...
What? We just had a new name, so.
You just changed that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get you the name, but essentially it is a few dozen folks who aren't just the senior lead officer who always does that anyway in the area and looks at community engagement. Community Safety Partnership is in the public housing aspect, but this division will look at ways that we can make sure that the best practices are being shared around the city for those places where we see escalation, where we see distrust. And we're going to be actually going out there and assessing that division by division. Where are the areas where there is the most mistrust? Because sometimes that can mean crime gets to fester when you don't have witnesses coming forth or people even are reacting to the police. So the Community Relationship Division, thank you. So I think those are the main things that we are doing. We're also trying to be really smart about using CompStat to look at where we're seeing those spikes happen and making sure that this back and forth, which as you said, really is focused on gang violence predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly, that we're seeing people who are coming out of the criminal justice system. We're seeing, you know, gang on gang violence. Often Latino gangs on Latino gangs, African-American gangs on African-American gangs, that to me, any loss of life is a loss of life. I don't want to just say, oh, it's gang violence. Don't worry if you're not a member of a gang. You have nothing to be worried about. I think you do have the right to have peace of mind in your neighborhood no matter what. So those are what we're doing. And I don't know if the chief wants to add anything to that, too.
You know, I've dealt with gang violence my entire career as a Los Angeles police officer. I am very familiar with the patterns, very, very familiar with the personalities involved. I personally met with the command staff from South Bureau on Tuesday, went over their plans, their strategies for dealing with this uptick over the past month. I believe in their strategies. They've opened up a command center that is staffed by a captain or above. 20 hours a day. They are adjusting resources citywide to meet hotspots. They are working, as the mayor said, with intervention and prevention programs. They're working with the clergy. They're working with the Watts Gang Task Force. They're working with all aspects. They're firing on all cylinders to reduce this problem. Having said that, and gang crime is violent crime in Los Angeles. You know, over 55% of our homicides are traditionally gang-related. Almost 25% of our violent crime. You know, this is the issue that Los Angeles has to deal with most centrally to impact crime. Because of that, we have very, very strong strategies. But those strategies sometimes take time to work. And when you have young men that are determined to commit violence upon one another, sometimes it can be difficult to tamp it down. But we're working towards that, and I have confidence in what we're doing.
Folks, this will be the last question.
August, sorry.
August.
Sure.
The deadliest month in Los Angeles since 2007, August 2007. Yep. Most of it attributed to gang violence.
Sure.
Why? What's going on?
Well, I think it's really a lot of retribution killings and a lot of gang-on-gang violence, as I mentioned. To put it in context, we're up, I think, as of today, 5% year-to-year, and last year was an almost historic low on homicide. So we are almost still at a level where, if you rewind the clock really, we'd have triple the number of homicides. But we think those that do exist and those that happen in August, not exclusively but predominantly, are gang-on-gang violence, often retribution for killings that happened earlier or slights that happened earlier in the month. That's why it's so important for us to have a presence of more officers and to have those intervention workers who know the personalities and kind of say, it has to stop. We have to do that both on the civilian end and also with our police officers.
So much anger towards the police out there. You're concerned about police being.
I'll let the chief answer that. I don't think we've seen this really contained to gangs on gang. We haven't seen that emphasis, but that's something I'm always concerned about, something that I've spoken up and spoken out about, because I want our officers to keep engaged and to stay safe and to be safe out there. All it's going to take is one incident where somebody targets a police officer because he or she is a police officer, as we saw around the country, and that is absolutely unacceptable. Every community needs the police. Every community needs police officers to be safe and to stay safe. We will do our part to always make sure there's accountable and constitutional policing, but vice versa, there is no place for anti-police profiling, just as the opposite is correct, too. Yes, sir.
Mayor, thank you. Back to the body cam for a moment. Can you talk a little bit about the needs for the new challenge?
Sure.
The LAPD policy?
Absolutely.
And a little bit, most of the time, you know, Chief Deck plans on wearing the body cam for a meeting with you.
I can answer that for you. No. We are very proud, by the way, to have input, not just from the ACLU, but we had hundreds of people from the community that answered our request for information and input on how this would be developed. For me, it's a very clear policy. And I'll give you an example that happened from Mission this week. The first filing that is coming from one of these this week here is a domestic violence incident. And the evidence from it is of an altercation or engagement of the suspect and the victim in that incident. That is not something that should be shared publicly. We should not have a policy that says automatically that goes out to the public. I want accountability on both parts. When we have a bad apple in this department who does something that goes over the line and that violates people's rights and that breaks the law, I don't want anything to taint that. That should result in a conviction. Vice versa, if we have somebody who is doing something criminal against one of our police officers or to another innocent person in this city, I want to make sure that an early release of video doesn't taint their conviction. This is about ultimate accountability, which is our criminal justice system. So I very much respect the perspective. I've been an ACLU supporter, member, and other things for many years. And I respect the desire sometimes from the ACLU or even members of the media say, make everything public right away. I won't do that. When there's rape victims, I won't do that. When there's domestic violence victims, I won't do that. When we have trials that will result from this, that we need to have the evidence be untainted. That said, will there be extraordinary occasions where the chief will have to use his judgment? I expect him to, if the city is about to, you know, erupt in violence or something where we might want to share to be able to bring that down. Absolutely. But the last thing I'll say, and the chief has said this too and may want to reinforce this, 6 months from now, we're going to take a look at it, see what we can improve. If they have a point that's good that we overlooked and that they can say, see, told you so, or there's a problem, we can change it. This is a living, breathing document. Just as the technology will change, perhaps that policy will change, but I'm happy with what the commission has put forward because I think it protects this community and ensures greater accountability from our department precisely for the reasons I outlined. I hope not, based on the logic I've given, because it can go the other way. Trust me, so many of us who have ever been a part of any case know, usually when the chief calls me on something that's happened in the city, he said, this is initial, and in my experience, everything initial is usually wrong. And all of us know that in the media, too. The first reports are like, somebody's dead, who's not? Something happened that didn't. So it's really important before we are a problem of the escalation that we actually have the rule of law. And that is a very important principle to me.
Let me just add real, very quickly. You know, these videos will be totally accessible by the Inspector General, totally accessible by the Police Commission. They will be supplied to the District Attorney and the City Attorney upon request for any case, civil or criminal. You know, these are not something that is kept to be the private property of the Los Angeles Police Department. They are pieces of evidence that are tried through a system that has been well developed to deal with evidence. You know, I mean, I know that this is of great interest, and especially to people that make their living selling video. You know, this is very, very interesting stuff.
But we respect tremendously.
We respect. We love you all. I love you, and all of you know that. But remember, we interact with people on their worst day. We interact with people in situations that none of you, if they were your family members, would want made generally public. We have a position of trust with people that call us to respond to their houses to deal with situations that nobody else will deal with. And we want to maintain that level of trust. I don't want one victim to not call the Los Angeles Police Department because she is afraid that it will wind up on YouTube. That last one was the fire department, by the way. So I don't want one victim to not call the Los Angeles Police Department because she is afraid that what she reports to us will wind up on YouTube or in the public domain. That's not fair. That is not what you expect. That is not what your loved ones expect when they call the Los Angeles Police Department. But I will guarantee this, that these videos are accessible. They're accessible to the people that represent the community to oversee the Los Angeles Police Department. There is no use of force. Say the fire department again. no significant use of force that occurs in this city that is not finally reviewed by the Los Angeles Police Commission. Five representatives appointed by the mayor who represent this city and oftentimes do not agree with me, as all of you are very aware. And they will review these videos just as I do in making their determination. These are not secret. These are not something that is cloistered by the police. These are something that are used as evidence in a well-proven system that deals with evidence every day.
For the body cameras, given that Mr. Sobroff had to pass the hat around in front of the first 860, what is the plan to get additional cameras for the other
areas? Well, it's true he did that for the testing phase, as I've announced in other press conferences, and we put in this year's budget. It's in our budget. So it's now paid for by the people of Los Angeles. We had some great people of Los Angeles who gave disproportionately at the beginning, but is now an embedded part of our budget.
And the timetable?
By the end of 2016, we will have them on all operational officers.
Without violating anybody's trust.
Sure.
The cases you've had this week, where you've actually reported things on this camera, mm-hmm. you mentioned ones of domestic violence. Case.
Correct.
I gather reported some kind of interaction with the police that might be used in a case.
Yes.
But what are the kinds of things, and if you say more about that one, I'm interested. What are the kinds of things that require you to conduct this case?
Sure. I think that's the first one in which they're talking about detectives actually filing. So that's a really important thing to remember. 2,000 videos, that's I don't want to give the exact number, but let's say 1,900 plus of them that are good positive interactions. And that's actually our preferred video, is one of a good interaction between the police department and the public. But in those cases, and we'll see if there's any other ones, we will have now the video evidence. Part of the reason why we don't want to always make it public is, I think, pretty clear in a case like that. But we also had, I think, in some initials a few weeks ago out here with some of the tests where people talked about de-escalation incidences. And I think those are very powerful. I don't know if the captain has a couple of those where people, when they're told, suddenly go, okay, I'll calm down in my interaction with the police.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Todd Chamberlain, commanding officer of Mission Area. Again, we are very, very happy and pleased to be part of the rollout of this system. Our command has embraced it. We're happy for what we have, this new technology, and our officers embrace it, and I think it's going to really impact our community that we serve. And that's what this is about, is how we can better serve people. This new technology has allowed us to do things that would not have been originally thought of, and what that is, one big component of it is we've noticed a level of civility that has kind of rippled through with some of our contacts with the members of the community that we reach out to. We've seen incidences where people have been stopped. There was one incident that occurred where officers went to a family dispute that involved a mother and two of her daughters. And immediately, the officers were there. One of the daughters came out enraged, very upset, extremely aggressive, and the officers just made the statement, "Ma'am, I want to let you know this is being recorded." The daughter stopped her activities, turned around, went back into the residence, and that whole problem basically calmed down in a matter of seconds based on this new technology. Had another incident again. We always strive to make sure if our officers get involved in use of force situations, it's always proper, ethical, constitutional, and correct. We had an incident, hopefully, where those don't occur, and again, this technology has allowed for that to happen in real-world situations. We had an incident where an officer went to one of our local convenience stores based on a radio call, and they started to make contact with the person who was in there causing the issue, and as they went to make contact with them, immediately got rigid as if preparing to fight or as preparing to be uncooperative. The officer stopped, he took a moment, and he said, "I want to let you know, sir, that you're being recorded and everything that's happening is going to have audio and both videotape." And immediately the individual stopped. We were able to communicate with them, talk, de-escalate the whole situation, and everyone left in a much better place than having to get through the issues that would have confronted that officer and confronted that community member. So again, these are some of the things that we have really seen. Again, for technology, obviously, is to base our assumptions that our officers are acting ethically, properly, and honorably. And this technology is going to prove that. And I also, if we do have issues, it's going to prove that there's a violation of that trust. And we will verify that, and we will do what we have to do with it. But again, the one thing I think is really important, too, is it's not just modifying the behavior of our officers or changing it or looking at it from a different perspective. Our officers have noticed, again, a big modification in the community members that they deal with, and how that communication is open and how that collaboration has changed has really been based a lot on this new technology. So we embrace it. Our officers, you know, little hiccups at first, like anything that rolls out, but they're working through it. They're getting better with it every day. They're understanding the process, how to work the system, both during, after, and you know, the court process that goes with that. It's like any new technology. It's a modification. It's a change. But these officers are young. They embrace this technology. They embrace the philosophy behind it, and they understand why we're doing it to better serve our community. So thank you very much.
Okay, folks, last question, for real.
Last question, yeah. We have a roll call with some of the officers. We want to make sure they get out. So. Sure. So the mobile phone, which was part of the package deal that the vendor who won this put together, will have a couple things. One, you can view your video, and I want to make sure people know officers cannot edit their video. This becomes something that immediately is outside of their hands. There's no ability for them to edit. They can mark it so they can look at specific times. They could add information potentially down the line, but they cannot obviously edit it. But with the phone, you can also, I mean, we're hoping to develop a kind of a suite of apps, and Sprint's been a great partner in this and helping us look at some initial programmers. And I've been asking officers, if you could have ideal apps, what would you have? One said, what if we had a selfie stick and I could put this up when I'm clear, when I want to see, is there danger around the corner, I can look in my own phone. Another said, I'd love to fill out paperwork on this rather than come back, spend, you know, hours doing paperwork when I'm out there. I think every officer always says that. Imagine if you could actually do it out there in the same way that, you know that many of that I'm very intensely focused on making sure that we have a cleaner city and that we have equal service around this city. We found that our sanitation truck drivers were picking up couches and things like that. We're spending 3 hours between their Thomas guides and they're logging in where they had picked them up. Now they have three more hours to actually pick up, and the stats are coming down. So it's about 4 to 6 days, any part of the city, to get a couch picked up, and we'll bring it down even lower. So it's really about empowering them to be able to have that, and the sky's the limit. All of us use these, and you have a lot of officers who do all sorts of workarounds. They'd like situational awareness, like they're doing serving a warrant on somebody. They want to know what that person looks like, not just through a piece of paper that may be old, but information that could be sent out real time, etc. So it's really limitless what we can do now to enter not just the camera phase of policing, but the digital age of policing too.
Black and white don't even have Google Maps. So
they'll have Google Maps for the first time, among other things.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you all so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Folks, if you'd like, we have an officer available to demo the actual technology. We also have an officer available to take questions.